Howdy, folks. This is Wednesday, March 29th, and this session of the Minnesota Center Agriculture, Broadband, and Rural Development Committee is now in session. Folks, we're going to be talking through and discussing and contributing to the bill that we discussed on Monday, which is the Agricultural Omnibus Bill. And a quorum is present. Members, it's my hope that this discussion will be as productive as possible and that we will engage the meat of this amendment and make it as strong as we possibly can in the exact same bipartisan spirit that we have operated with throughout this session. I will start by moving to take Senate File 1955 off the table and put it up for consideration. Members, all in favor, say aye. Opposed? All right, we're already rocking. Senate File 1955 is now off the table and here for consideration. We are likely to discuss the bill through the process of amending it. So in that spirit, I'm going to start with the first one, and I offer the A24 amendment. The A24 amendment was posted last night, I believe, so it should be in your packet and available for your consideration. I will quickly talk through some of the bits. It's a little bit longer. So note that many of these provisions are simple technical changes. Some are at the request of the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Others, some of these brief changes are the results of feedback that we've received already that we considered non-controversial. For example, page 8, line 7, after 4, we would like to insert avian influenza prevention measures and. It's a change that just expands the use of the funds to also include prevention activities, which seems like a reasonable, a non-controversial thing. That's an example of the kinds of other changes that we've got in here. Members will give you a moment to peruse the amendment, given its length, even though it was posted before, and ask if there is any discussion. Feel free to offer it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, just as we were contemplating the A24, I have an A19 amendment that does something similar. And I was just reviewing this with staff before committee. And I'm wondering if the A19, if there'd be a way to incorporate that in. And I guess it just helps clarify that the money for avian influenza would be used for research and prevention. And I just offer that as a possible friendly amendment to enhance the A24 to make it a little more clear. But I don't know if I should raise it or move it now, or maybe first I just ask Senate counsel for any guidance as to how we might modify the A19 to fit into the A24, because I had it drafted before the A24. And then I guess after that, Mr. Chair, I'd just be open to your comments if you think that'd be an okay, friendly amendment.
Certainly. Ms. Painter, do you have any input on this? Procedurally? Do we consider this an amendment to the amendment, the A19, an amendment to the amendment?
And Ms. Painter, do you think the A19 works as it's written to the A24, or would we have to modify it just a little bit?
Thank you, everybody, for your patience. Just give me a second to look at these together. I think they amend, they're inserted in slightly different places, but it might not make sense to read it all together. Page 8, line 7.
Senator Westrom, as we do the procedural math, I just want to say I fully support it, and I appreciate your contribution.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought it would be non-controversial, and I just thought that we can kind of, I think we're both trying to accomplish the same thing.
So, Ms. Painter, do we have to do anything procedural in terms of treating this as an amendment to the amendment, or?
And Mr. Chair, for purposes of discussing the rest of the amendment, we could do that and give Ms. Painter a little more time to just contemplate the two, and I'll look it over a little closer too. But
that's a good idea, Senator Western.
Mr. Chair, they are complementary, but it does make the whole sentence really long and slightly convoluted. So if you give me like 5 minutes, maybe I could come up with something that incorporates both those ideas without being quite so cumbersome.
Thank you, Ms. Painter. If you're amenable to that, Senator Westrom, I think that we should let Ms. Painter do her work, and we'll move on to other parts of the amendment. If there are any points of discussion on the A24 amendment.
That sounds good, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Painter.
Mr. Chair and Senator Westrom, just to clarify, are you seeking to expand research to include measures for preventing transmission of influenza, or are you seeking to expand the uses of this funding to also include transmission prevention measures? They're two slightly different ideas.
Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Painter, I think both, but primarily the research, because these dollars are research, GREET dollars. So I guess the intention should be that the research could be for either. And does that make sense?
Ms. Painter?
So, Mr. Chair, is that also your intent with your amendment to focus on research activities or on prevention activities?
Ms. Painter, I think in the spirit of Senator Westrom's amendment, that both would be implied already as it's within the context of agreed. So that seems reasonable to me. If I'm understanding the question correctly, this is about expanding it from involving research into prevention activities. Is that the concern? Is it research into prevention or research and prevention? Senator Westrom, is that making sense?
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, and a good question, Ms. Painter. I think that's my thought too. The research would get into the prevention side if there's things that could be done to prevent it. I think it's consistent with what we also heard from the turkey growers on Monday. That was my thought as well. But does that help, Ms. Painter?
Yes. Thank you very much.
So members, again, anything else that you would like to talk about for the A24 amendment for maybe another minute and 17 seconds to give Ms. Painter the time to do what she needs to do? Senator Western, with your approval, I think we're going to withdraw this particular amendment for a second while Ms. Painter does the math, and we'll come back to it in just a little bit while she works out the proper vocabulary.
That's all right, Mr. Chair. I'm not trying to delay your amendment.
No, that's great. And I don't want to put pressure on her to try and iron this out perfectly right now. In that spirit, we'll take the A24 amendment. We'll table it for a moment. And withdraw it, and we'll move on to, I'd like to offer the A26 amendment, please. This also will be in your packets, members. This is a alteration in the language around broadband that was in the original bill that makes three basic changes that have been discussed and cleared with our friends at the Department of Economic Development. In fact, they are enthusiastic supporters of these changes. The first is that it shifts the 75-25 change that was made in Senator Seeberger's work so that it applies exclusively to the lower density program. And the broad border-to-border program would go back to the 50-50 match that it had initially. The rationale here is that the match with federal dollars are going to expire. So we want to make sure that we can have those dedicated as much as possible to the lower density areas. The second change is it codifies lower density provisions so that we will continue to invest in and work on greater Minnesota and those areas that have inadequate coverage as much as we possibly can. And last, it changes the lifts the ceiling on broadband grants to $10 million for all different types of grants, given the expenses of the kinds of programs that we're doing. That's the nature of the nature and context and content of the A26 amendment. Members, do you have any questions or discussion of the A26 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Westrum.
Mr. Chair, I think I understood you right, but the idea on the narrowing the focus to the 75% grant, which is a much higher level of a state grant, but the idea is it's in the areas where there's lower density population, it's going to cost more per mile or per hookup to install, and that's where we recognize that to get those last hardest to serve areas, that's the area we'll focus on the bump up, but the rest of the program where there's more normal population numbers won't get the higher grant amount. We're just trying to target the highest amount of money to the lowest, hardest to serve areas. Is that kind of it in a nutshell?
That's exactly it, Senator Westrum. That's the issue. And the other reason why that's important is that we have a finite amount of federal dollars that will be involved in this. We want to make sure that that extra money that we get that's helping is helping the people who need it the most.
Right. Very good. I support the A26.
Okay. Thank you. So, members, seeing no further discussion, the A26 amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The A26 amendment is adopted. Members, let's go back to Ms. Painter to perhaps finish off the question of the A24 amendment. So I'd like to reauthor the A24 amendment. Ms. Painter.
Mr. Chair, members, if we combine the two amendments, let me just make sure we've got the right line numbers. Sorry. So page 8, line 7. After 4, insert avian influenza prevention measures, and that comes from the A24. And then on line 8.8, after the period, insert funds may be used for researching avian influenza prevention measures, including but not limited to measures to prevent transmission of avian influenza from wild birds to domestic turkeys.
Thank you, Ms. Painter. That sounds pretty good to me. Senator Westrum, do you have an opinion?
Mr. Chair, I would concur, and if you want to just make that an oral amendment to your A24, I'm fine with that, or however I can move something to if you'd rather.
Thank you, Senator Westrum. I make that oral amendment to alter the language thusly, if we could. So any discussion of the A24 plus its of the oral amendment? All in favor say aye.
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 The A24 amendment is amended by the oral amendment, and now to the discussion of the A24 amendment as amended. Any points of discussion left over?
Mr.
Chair Anderson?
Since you pulled the A24, don't you have to reintroduce it?
We did that, Senator Anderson.
You did not?
No.
I believe we did.
Oh, you did reintroduce it? You speak too fast.
Sorry about that. Usually people just say I speak too much, Senator Anderson, so I appreciate it a little bit better. To the A24 amendment as amended, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The A24 amendment is as amended is adopted. Members, I have one more amendment for myself. This is the A13 amendment. It is in the process of being posted. It was a little late today. Members, I will give some brief context for this amendment. One of the most intense, and all right, we'll wait until you have it then. Senator Western, my apologies. We're in the process of making this available for you virtually. In the meantime, as the other members do have it, I'll do a bit of quick context. And that one of the issues that's caused the greatest consternation this session for our committee is the seemingly intractable concern around the funding of research into wild rice. We had some compromise language that we put in an earlier version of the bill that increased the dialogue between the tribes and the University of Minnesota. There are two interlocking issues in this concern. One is a historical distrust of the University of Minnesota felt by some tribes, and the other is the issue of wild rice cultivation in and of itself, which has its own history, as complex as it is. Members, I want to acknowledge just how difficult a question this is. I think anyone on either side of this has to admit it's a tough one, and we have to acknowledge and appreciate the intensity of feelings on either side. I have, in the last week or so, been working with various stakeholders to try and find out new language that carves out a better space for everybody, one that acknowledges the importance of investing in research into the durability of wild rice as a commercial product, but also that respects tribal perspectives on the sanctity of wild rice. And I believe that this amendment helps us a lot in that regard. In some of my conversations with the University of Minnesota, I've discovered that the individual who's doing this research right now, the lab, the Kimball lab, is moving in different directions now anyway. This is the nature of research. I'll say this as part of my day job, is that you start studying something, then you go where the questions take you. And the Kimball lab lately has been spending a lot more time approaching these issues ecologically and viewing the relationship between rice and its environment, and a little less time invested in the breeding that is considered so problematic by the tribes, some of our friends in the tribes. So this amendment simply encourages further movement in that direction, but also reinstitutes a focus on wild rice specifically. So on page 7, line 11, the A13 amendment would remove the word agriculture, which obviously doesn't engage wild rice specifically, and replace it with the preservation and production of wild rice. This research would continue to be in that issue, in that area, but it does not explicitly refer to or encourage genetic research or breeding of any kind. I think that this is a good compromise proposal because it's going to require people to work together to figure stuff out. That's always my bias. And so for that reason, members, I offer the A13 amendment. Everyone should have a chance to take a look at it. So, members, discussion of the A13 amendment. Senator Kunesh.
Thank you very much, Chair, for bringing this forward. And this was part of the discussion from one of the bills that I carried, and it was, it was a lively discussion. We spent some time talking about it here on the floor, and then you and I had conversations along with a number of other individuals that would be impacted by the change in the legislation. And, I learned more, I understood things better, took into consideration where the original content of the bill or the change in the legislation that I had proposed. And after having our last conversation last evening, I am in full support of this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Kunesh. Any other members with comments or questions about the A13 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The A13 amendment passes. That's what I got. Members, any amendments or points of discussion of the bill? Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I have the A5 amendment.
Senator Dames offers the A5 amendment.
And the A5 amendment would go back to a discussion we had earlier. It would be reinstating the $450,000 for the first year and the $450,000 for the second year for the wild rice breeding project at the North Central Research and Outreach Center. and to include a tenure track and research associate plant breeder. I know that there's been a lot of discussion about this, but I think that I still feel we're making a mistake here by not putting that in there. And so this amendment would reinstate that.
Members, discussion. Senator Kunesh.
Thank you, Chair, and Ms. Senator Dames. I really do understand where this is coming from, and again, this is specific to the bill we just had the amendment for. I'm not sure that if the Chair will accept this, as it would add to the cost of his bill and would put him out of balance. If it were me, I would suggest that we not accept this, especially after the last amendment that we just accepted. And that's my viewpoint on this amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator, for your thoughts on that. I'm glad that you were willing to make that compromise on the language, but the language really doesn't solve the problem. It just adds another layer of who needs to approve what before the money can be spent. And so I don't think that's really a solution. I think verbally it sounds good, looks good, but I don't think that that's going to solve the problem.
Thank you, Senator Dames. So from my perspective as the author of the amendment, I would say that this is more than just window dressing or just language. Encouraging and requiring people to collaborate is actually structurally significant and actually could lead to future greater rapprochement between some of the parties here. So the earlier language that we had requires consultation with tribes and the U to decide how they're going to do the research. To me, that is not just fancy language. That's structurally significant, important, ethical, and something that I would stand behind. Members, any other discussion of the A5 amendment? Senator Ampson.
Mr. Chair, with the language that we just passed, how do we know for sure that there will be money available for that preservation of and the production of wild rice as far as research and other programs? Do we know that for sure?
Thank you, Senator Anderson. That's in the actual language of it. The appropriation doesn't change. The language is still there with the identical appropriation. The language that we have currently in there simply says that it has to be decided how it's going to be spent through consultation and that it has to be spent on preservation and production, research into preservation and production of wild rice.
But it doesn't say how much.
That language wasn't changed, I don't believe, Ms. Painter, so it still does say the same amount, Senator Anderson.
It's just the university gets to make the decision as to how much money they're going to put toward that preservation or production. It doesn't say that $450,000 is going to go for that. Does it say that directly?
Senator Anderson, yes, it does, actually.
It does?
Yeah. All that we changed in the amendment that I offered was to change the word agriculture. The dedication of resources is already there, and it's not actually just that the University of Minnesota can make that decision. It's that the University of Minnesota should do so in consultation with other stakeholders. Other discussion? You are correct, however, Senator Anderson, is that this isn't extremely explicit about how those resources will be funded, just simply that they have to do work that will forward greater knowledge about the preservation and production of wild rice.
Mr. Chair, will there be a report then back to us to say that how much money or how much was done on this research on preservation and wild rice?
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Yes, as was already in the bill, those requirements have not been changed.
Must submit a report. Okay, thank you.
Other bits of discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, just a question. I know Mr. Scoy was one of the farmers down, former senator, that really raised concern about this. I think this language gets a lot more impactful to making sure that the research and what's been so valuable to the wild rice sustainability is preserved in Minnesota. I guess so I would urge members to support this, but in lieu of that, Mr. Chair, is Mr. Skoy on board with the 813 language as well, or was that not his language?
Senator Westrom, I have had quite a few discussions with Mr. Skoy over the past 24 hours. My understanding is that he is not satisfied by the language that I changed in A13.
So, Mr. Chair and members, I would hope we could try to just keep this funding stable and the way it's been going. I think it really has been working out quite well for production and improvements of wild rice in Minnesota. But to that end, Mr. Chair, I would just urge members to support the Danes amendment.
Thank you, Senator Westrom. Members, any other discussion on the A5 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed
aye.
Say nay.
Nay.
Senator Anderson has called for division.
Are you asking for the yeas, Mr. Chair?
I'm about to, Senator Westrom.
So we're going to follow the same procedures as you would on division on the floor.
Members, just a moment pause, if you would. We want to make sure we do this correctly. Members, this is the language we've been given in terms of procedure to follow in the case of a division vote, a call for division in committee. We've been told to follow the same procedures as the floor. So for the sake of administrative consistency, we will not count remote voters on divisions to stay consistent with floor procedures. That being said, we will now proceed with the division vote.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Westrom.
Point of order. Where did we get that ruling from? Who's given that to you, at least?
Senator Westrom, my understanding is that this is guidance that we've received from some folks that says that historical procedure was that this was not the case, that remote votes were not counted. So it's a function of custom in some ways. And the desire to remain consistent with what happens on the floor is something that I think we should reflect here as well.
Well, Mr. Chair, there's lots of things that we do in committee that aren't the same as on the floor, and one of those, for instance, is targets that are enforced on the floor, and committees don't have the same hammer, if you will, or way to enforce them. I don't recall that any time divisions haven't been counted. They're much more manageable in committee where you've just got 5 or 10 members. So I guess if you could provide me with where we're getting that guidance from, so at least I know who to be talking to, or if we need to change the Senate rule. The Senate rules, I believe, just reflect the floor vote, and largely because it would be unwieldy to call divisions. But I guess I'm just a little surprised by this. But
Senator Westrom, you actually, I'm sorry for interrupting, but I think you're actually making a very good argument. That there is a distinction between what happens in committee and the floor because of the numbers of individuals who are there. So what I'd like to offer up instead is that we do a roll call vote on this amendment instead. That seems to me an appropriate compromise of sorts And the
Mr. Chair, I think that's an appropriate place for a way to do the division by the chair, and so I would appreciate you doing that.
Absolutely, Senator Westrom. I appreciate you making good rational argument too. That's rare here. So thanks for that. So roll call has been requested by the chair. Roll call has been granted by the chair.
Chair Putnam.
Before we do that, I'd like to make clear what it is that we're voting on. The roll call that we're dealing with here is on the A5 amendment. A yes vote is in favor of changing the language and dedicating this funding into research associated with plant breeding. That is a yes vote. A no vote is to reject this amendment and keep the language of the A13 amendment as it has already been adopted, just so we're all clear on what we're doing here. That being said, would you please take the roll?
Chair Putnam?
No.
Vice Chair Kupek?
No.
Lead Westrom?
Yes.
Senator Anderson?
Yes.
Senator Dames?
Yes.
Senator Dornick?
Yes.
Senator Gustafson?
No.
Senator Kunish?
No.
Senator Seeberger?
No.
There being five no's and four yeses, the A5 amendment is not adopted. Members, other amendments, points of discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, I'd offer the A10 amendment.
Senator Westrom offers the A10 amendment.
Mr. Chair, just for the procedural ease, I would just ask for a roll call. I think that'll be easier just overall. But Mr. Chair, the A10, this language, the A10 would take the $14 million that's going towards the grain indemnity fund and redirect it towards another very valuable, exciting endeavor that we, or opportunity that we heard about with the green anhydrous ammonia in Minnesota, and really could help us take a big step into being a leader on that opportunity that exists for our state and our farmers and for rural ownership and co-op models for farmers to be part of their own fertilizer supply. And with the Grain Indemnity Fund, I know there's a lot of talk we've had on it. I think we're getting a lot closer, but Mr. Chair, I'm concerned we still do not have a real voluntary indemnity fund worked out. It's still an opt-out, much like the Menards rebates. If you happen to send your paperwork in, you'll get your money back, but the onus becomes on the farmer, and it becomes a very clumsy process. And so I just don't think we're there yet with the indemnity fund, albeit it's, I think, advanced in the right direction, much closer than it was even a couple months ago. So, Mr. Chair, with that, the A10 would direct the $14 million that would be used for the grain indemnity fund and put it into the green anhydrous ammonia, which is another a great opportunity, I think, that's ready to hit the road if we can find some funding for it.
Thank you, Senator Westrom. And I'll say in response to the amendment that I appreciate your interest in green ammonia. That's something I cared a great deal about, too. I think that's a fantastic place for us to invest our resources. And currently in the Energy Committee, it is in their omnibus bill for an amount of about $12 million worth of investment in the Green Ammonia Fund, which I'm very grateful to see. Not nearly as much as I wanted to see, but I'm grateful that a committee with greater resources is spending them in a way that I would have liked to spend some of ours too. That being said, I think we're likely to talk about the Grain Indemnity Fund a little bit today. And I want to, as this is our first opportunity to discuss it, I need to say that I've held three town halls in greater Minnesota focused on agriculture in the last month and a half. And there has been no issue that the farmer's voice has not rounded more clearly on than the Grain Indemnity Fund. This is something that working farmers want. And so in that spirit, Senator Westrom, I'm going to have to advise the committee to vote against this amendment because we have two great priorities here, two fantastic priorities here. One of them is getting taken care of in a different committee, and the other is one that for us to stay true to the spirit of our committee in listening to the voices of everyday farmers, that's something we've got to defend. Members, other discussion? about the A-10 amendment. Roll call was requested. Roll call has been granted. Seeing none, please take the roll.
Chair Putnam?
No.
Vice Chair Kupek?
No.
Lead Westrom?
Yes.
Senator Anderson?
Yes.
Senator Dames?
Yes.
Senator Dornick?
Yes.
Senator Gustafson?
No.
Senator Kunisch?
No.
Senator Seeberger?
No.
With five yeas and four nays, the amendment is not adopted. Five noes and four yeses, the amendment is not adopted. Members, other amendments, points of discussion? Senator Dornick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer the A11 amendment.
Senator Dornick offers the A11 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Still waiting a moment just so we all get it, if you don't mind. All right, here we go. Yeah, go ahead. Senator Dornick, do your amendment, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this one just provides $100,000 one time for grants to meat and poultry processors with 50 full-time employees or fewer. So it's basically the same in the bill, page 21, line 21.3, $322,000 is for the first year. So all this is doing is just taking $100,000 from that amount and then just making it more direct for 50 employees or less. So just making sure that we give a better opportunity for those smaller businesses that are trying to get started. So, and we actually heard this bill in the committee, Senate File 861. Rarick brought that in. So just I'm hoping you'll take that as a friendly amendment.
Senator Dornick, if you could, just for the sake of us and for the public, could you tell us a little bit about where is the money coming from again, the 3222 becoming the 2222?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So it's page 21 in the bill and then 21.3. So it's the same program. It's just instead of 100, this one has 100 employees or full-time employees or fewer, and we're just targeting to 50.
Members, discussion of the A11 amendment. Senator Kupek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Senator Dornick, do you have a rough idea of how many producers are at these different levels, I guess? That's just my question.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dornick.
No, I don't have a number, but what we have is we have businesses starting, so it would be for them that are smaller. So they'll be continuing to grow, so there probably isn't a set number.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, I just would speak up in favor of the Dornick amendment, and I would hope members could look at this and just see it as just a way to kind of broaden or help the meat cutting, smaller and mid-sized meat cutting facilities by using some of the same dollars we're already targeting towards that, towards a similar but somewhat different effort of businesses starting up to get into the meat cutting and helping them through the process and some of that. So I would hope we could find a way to blend these two together. I think they work well harmoniously. And, let's see in a year or two what the money does, so $300,000+, 100 of it towards the target in the A11 amendment. But the ultimate proof will be, and do we have more meat cutters starting up and expanding in this when we're done? And so I would just urge support of this amendment as we try to find innovative ways, helpful ways to make meat cutting more thriving in our state, and that opportunity for businesses to start out and really take that animal, livestock, agriculture product and make it more available for consumers and through businesses that many more families can find as a part of their livelihood.
Thank you, Senator Westrum, for that point of view. You know, one of the things I like about your amendment, Senator Dornick, is it does focus on those who need the most help. It focuses on the startups, smaller folks, the strivers who are trying to start something new. And so I will accept this as a friendly amendment, Senator Dornick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize for not getting to you. I normally, you know, my reputation is I tried to give you a heads up. But
these are busy days, my friend. So. It's all good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The A11 amendment is adopted. Members.
Chair, I think we have to vote on.
Oh, I said it was friendly. I just accepted it. I'll do that. You still have on? All right, thanks. Hi, folks. It's not. I unhammer. So to the A11 amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. All right, it's adopted again. A11 amendment is now adopted. Senator Dames. Senator Dames offers the A15 amendment. As it's being passed out, Senator Dames, to your amendment, please. Senator Dames, is your microphone on?
It will be in a minute. But thank you, Mr. Chair. The A15 amendment assumes that we have $80 million in biennium for spending. I understand we don't have that, but the reason I'm bringing this up, Mr. President, is there is a proposal in front of your leadership team that would bring the agricultural budget up to $80 million per biennium. And I think that that's important that we take a look at what that would do in this committee, what it would do for spending. So what this would do is it would add another $32 million in spending above what the current spending is in the SF file 1955 as amended. And it would add $18 million in the first year to the green fertilizer program. It would add $5 million per year for the soil and health assistance program, $1 million per year in biofuel infrastructure, $750 per year for bioincentive program payments, and $250,000 per year to Second Harvest Heartland for additional milk purchases. And in the second biennium, would add $40 million in spending to the SF 1955 as amended by the A3. Would add $15.5 million in the first year for green fertilizer, $7.5 million per year for soil health, $2.75 million for biofuel infrastructure, $1.5 million per year for bioincentive program payments, and $500,000 per year for Second Harvest Heartland for additional milk purchases. Now, I realize, like I said, that the money is not here today, but that proposal is sitting in front of your leadership team, and I know that there's been some consternation in this committee and by some of the folks that are on the receiving end of these dollars about the lack of support by your leadership team for the agricultural target that you have. So, Mr. Chair, I would request a roll call vote and also have this roll call vote placed in the journal.
Senator Dames moves for roll call. Roll call request for roll call to be granted. I need to see three hands. Okay, so this will be recorded in the journal. Senator Dames, are you done with your presentation of your amendment?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. So my response to the A15 amendment is you got some good ideas here. I think you got some great ideas here. I would love to put more money in green ammonia. But perhaps my collar is just a little bit too blue and that I don't spend money I wish for. I only spend money I've got. So unfortunately, I'm not really in a position to support this amendment.
Other discussion?
Senator Dames.
Thank you for your comments. Just to remind you that, and I appreciate the fact that you're blue and then this and that, but just to remind you that your leadership team has the option to make this a reality for you. And so I would appreciate any encouragement you could give them to help out the agricultural community and make this happen. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Dames. I suppose I should clarify that my collar is blue because I'm working class, not because I'm a Democrat. That being said, the A15 amendment, any further discussion or comments about the A15 amendment? Roll call has been requested and roll call has been granted. To be clear, yes vote is to spend $40 million more dollars on the list of things on Senator Dame's list. A no vote is to not.
Chair Putnam?
No.
Vice Chair Kupek?
No.
Lead Westrom?
Yes.
Senator Anderson?
Yes.
Senator Dames?
Yes.
Senator Dornick?
Yes.
Senator Gustafson?
No.
Senator Kunisch?
No.
Senator Seeberger?
No.
There being five nays and four yeas, the amendment is not adopted. Members, other amendments? Senator Dornick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer the A17.
Senator Dornick offers the A17. Senator Dornick, to your amendment, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is regarding the working group for the deer damage to crops. Just adding language that states the Commissioner of Agriculture appoints the working group and that the working group is to be convened by and run by the Commissioner of Agriculture and other staff at the MDA.
Discussion of the A17 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, I would urge members to support this clarifying language. I think it gets to the same intent. As I was reviewing the bill and some other of our members were, this just puts, I think, the focus on what we want this group to really do and study, which is what are the costs. What are the options for a deer indemnity? One of the most common sense would be that there becomes a much more quick reacting hunting permit for farmers in this immediate area when their haystacks are being literally trampled and turned into manure piles because the deer surround them so much and they don't have an easy ability to stop those deer from eating all their forage, which is their winter feed for their cattle or their livestock. But we want the focus to be on the farmers and the damage and the results coming back to us. Some of it could be expensive, and that's been part of the problem. Is a deer indemnity fund like we've got the elk and the wolf is probably not practical in the extent of we probably aren't going to be able to pay everybody for that kind of damage because there's just a lot more deer. But the soybean growers and other groups are trying to get their arms around this. We have confidence the Department of Ag is the right one to do this. And Mr. Chair, to be quite frank, we just don't want it hijacked by the DNR or some other group that maybe won't be as focused on the harmed person here, which is the farmer. And we have confidence in the Department of Ag staff, and we just would like to make sure that's we're clear in what we're directing and who's going to convene this. So product we get back, I think we have more confidence. Would be a good product focused and that doesn't forget about the farmer.
Thank you, sir, for your comments, Senator Westrom. Senator Dornick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to mention I did talk to the commissioner just shortly before, and he is okay with it. So just so you know that information.
Thank you, Senator Dornick. Members, any other discussion or questions about the A17 amendment? Senator Gustafson.
Thank you, Chair Putnam. I was just wondering on the amendment 1.4, if it could, if there was a reason why we couldn't say his or her. As much as I love our current commissioner, I do believe that we will probably see a female commissioner at some point. So just wanted to know if that was a intended oversight or just an accident or if we need to do an oral amendment or what the options are.
Ms. Painter.
Mr. Chair and Senator Gustafson, that appropriation is only for the first year, and since we just confirmed Commissioner Peterson, I think it's okay to use that pronoun.
Thank you, Ms. Penny. Ms. Senator Gustafson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and that makes sense. Thank you.
Members, any other? Senator Kupak.
Sure. Well, first of all, we'll make sure, do we need a health check on the commissioner to make sure, because the deputy commissioner takes over before we adopt this event. But in all seriousness, this was my bill going forward, and I always envisioned it being that it would be the ag commissioner doing this. So I appreciate this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Dornick, we will consider this a friendly amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure. So all in favor of the A-17 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The A-17 amendment is adopted. Senator Seeberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This time I would like to offer the A-16 amendment.
Senator Seeberger offers the A-16 amendment. This should be in the packets and posted already. Senator Seeberger, two-year amendment.
Thank you. This amendment makes a few changes to the Farm Down Payment Assistance Grant bill that I introduced, and that is a part of this omnibus package. And in conversations with folks, while this is a fantastic program, and if you remember when I presented it, often there is much more demand than there is grants available. And the way it did work, or the way it is working, is that they're awarded on a first-come, first-served basis, and a lot of times deserving folks who apply for these grants miss the boat because the money is all spent by the time they get their application in. So what this would do is it would open the grant window for 30 days, and it would allow the commissioner to accept applications for this 30 days, and then they could be prioritized and grants be awarded to folks who maybe have the most need. That's the idea of this amendment. It also amends the available grants of up to $25,000 per eligible farmer. It doesn't affect the appropriation at all. It just affects the potential amount of each grant. And some flexibility is built into that with changing the must to the may. And that is my amendment.
Thank you, Senator Seeberger. Discussion of the A-16 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dames.
So just for clarification, so for the first 30 days, if you qualified for the grant, you would be eligible to get it. But then after the 30 days, if you qualified for the grant, but somebody else qualified for the grant and had more needs than you, then you'd be bumped out and would not get the grant. Is that right, or did I misunderstand?
Senator Seeberger.
The idea is the application window would be open for 30 days, and thereafter determinations would be made with regard to how the grants would be awarded.
Senator Dames.
So I think you just answered my question. Yes, that's the way it would work, is if you qualified and you were eligible, or you applied and you qualified, but down the road, and you hadn't received the grant, somebody else applied and had lesser means, that then they would get the grant and you'd be bumped. Possibly. Is that correct?
Senator Seeberger.
I think I understood what you said. I just wanted to clarify.
Senator Seeberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Dames. A determination we've made on a number of factors. The idea is to open it up to more applicants such that factors relating to their eligibility and their overall need could be considered rather than the awards or the grants being awarded on a first-come first-served basis.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, just a question for Senator Seeberger. The $25,000, you're raising that cap from the current $15,000, is that right?
Senator Seeberger.
That's correct, but along with that language, the commissioner is given discretion to award up to that amount. The prior language stated the commissioner must award grants up to $15,000. This says the commissioner may award grants of up to $25,000. So there's a little more discretion embedded in this amendment.
Senator Westrom.
Just a clarification on that. You said the current language says they may up to 15,000 or a must up to 15,000.
Senator Sieber? Does
the current language have the up to in it, or does it say they must award 15,000? I guess I'm, and I don't mean to try to be picky on it, but I think if it says must up to, it gives the commissioner the same type of permissive language. But and if you don't know the answer, maybe Ms. Painter would offhand. I just want to be clear that the current language is really a must, or does it not have to be 15,000 under the current language? And then I'll make my final point.
Senator Sieber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Westrum. The language reads that the commissioner must award farm down payment assistance grants of up to 15,000. And my amendment changes it to may award up to 25,000. So it had the must and the up to in the original language, yes.
Okay. Senator Westrum.
And so, Mr. Chair and Senator Sieberger, my reading of that would be that the commissioner didn't have to give 15,000 before either. So it's probably just a semantics of words. But my bigger point in asking that, it just is, we just started this program last year. And I guess my concern of going to 25 is the intent and the reasons for it were, these were intended to be, you know, relatively small, but kind of a starter grant. And if we go to 25, which doesn't quite double the 15, but it nearly does, there's just that many less people we're going to be helping getting into this. So if we have that big of a pool of applicants already at the 15,000, I really don't see a need to go to 25. Let's get as many dollars out there as we can, and if we can use $15,000 as seed money and we're getting lots of applications already, I just don't see why we have to go to 25,000 when the program's hardly a year old. So I don't know if you'd consider keeping it at 15, Senator Sieberger. I just think it would be a better way to use the dollars and stretch them and reach more people if we could. But I'll listen for your comment.
Senator Sieberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Westrum. You know, I went back and forth on this as well, and you make a good point. I think there's limited dollars available here, so if you wanted to make an oral, or I'll make an oral amendment, or I don't know who wants to make an oral amendment to this, to
I'll
keep it at 15. Okay.
Senator Westrum makes an oral amendment. Senator Westrum, could you speak the language that you're looking for?
Mr. Chair, I would just move to change the 25,000 to 15,000 in her the A-16 amendment.
Measure well clear. Senator Westrum moves an oral amendment that Ms. Painter will now read.
Mr. Chair, members, so on page 1, line 6, remove the strike through on $15,000 and delete $25,000.
Members, discussion? So the amendment, the oral amendment to the A-16 amendment. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. The amendment to the amendment is adopted, to the A-16 amendment. Members, further discussion of the A-16 amendment as amended?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Westrum.
Mr. Chair, I would just urge members to support the A-16 amendment as amended. And thank you, Senator Sieberger. I think we can see what kind of seed this really can plant and grow. And hopefully we're both amazed.
Thank you, Senator Westrum. To the A-16 amendment as amended, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The A-16 amendment as amended is adopted. Members, further amendments, points of discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Westrum.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the A-18 amendment.
Senator Westrum moves the A-18 amendment.
Mr. Chair, a fairly simple amendment. What this does is takes a lot of the soil health language that was in statutory language or session law language is being moved into statutory language. This just also brings the administrative cost to 5%, which wasn't in the move, brings the 5% administrative cost into the statutory language as well. just setting that in place, which is currently what we've been doing. I know there's a lot of people concerned that just administrative and overhead costs of programs don't all of a sudden eat up more of the program than what we're intending to do. And I just would urge us to put this language in statute like we're doing with most of the other cover crop language. And it's consistent with what we did last time and what they've been operating on. So I'd urge your support.
Thank you, Senator Westrom. The A18 amendment, members, discussion, comments? Members, discussion, comments on the A18 amendment? Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The A18 amendment is adopted.
Mr.
Senator Anderson.
I have the A21 amendment.
Senator Anderson moves the A21 amendment.
Mr. Chair, the
just one moment, if you would, please, Senator Anderson, while that's being passed out.
The A21 amendment just asked.
Mr. Senator Anderson, if you could wait for a moment, please, while okay. It's being passed out, as I asked you to. Okay. Thank you. Senator Anderson, now to the A21 amendment, please.
The A21 amendment on page 35 after the period, which we just amended now, but it'll be after the period of the last amendment. Basically asked for a report to be made on the number of grants awarded by the county and the combined value of those grants. And that's basically the gist of the amendment to have some reporting back from the counties themselves as they administer the grants.
Members, to the A21 amendment, discussion, comments? Perhaps you're looking it up right now, which is a good idea. Give us a minute to think about it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, just while people are looking it up, I think this just really gives us good data, helpful data in the coming years to look at and see where these dollars are going and which counties are benefiting or using them the most. Maybe there's a correlation to the most land-sensitive areas. Maybe some areas, for some reason, aren't being promoted as much. Just a good way to fiscally follow where the dollars are going and how much of the state are we helping and who's benefiting or taking advantage of this. So I don't think it should be real controversial, but I just wanted to kind of add that context to this language that Senator Anderson's offered, and I hope our members would see it the same way.
Thank you, Senator Westrom. Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good idea to me as well. Members, further discussion on the A21 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The A21 amendment is adopted. Members, other amendments, discussion? Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the A22 amendment.
Senator Dames moves the A22 amendment. Mr. Dames, if you could pause for a moment while it's being distributed, please. Senator Dames, to the A22 amendment, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the wrong amendment's getting passed out. I'm receiving the A12, and this is the A22.
I got the A22. Members, who got the A22?
Okay. I have the A12.
We have the A12 down here. But,
okay. Put them together and do a 34? Just kidding.
to the chair's new numbering system, A34. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I believe everybody has the amendment. What this amendment would do is it would require the Commissioner of Agriculture, in working together with the Commissioner of Commerce and Employment and Economic Development, to prepare a report on alternative methods to pay past claims filed under the bioincentive program under Minnesota statutes, and then it lists the various ones, and provide for adequate and sustainable funding to pay current and future claims under those sections. The report must be submitted to the chairs and minority members of the legislative committees with divisions within jurisdiction meeting proposed funding source and administration of the bioincentive program by January 15th, 2024. And Mr. Chair, the funding for this study would be done, or for this report would be done through the bioincentive finance program that we currently have right now. One of the reasons I'm bringing this forward, or a couple of reasons to bring this forward, is to point out that we do have a severe issue with the number of dollars that we're putting into this program versus the dollars of claims. If we look back from 17 through 2021, we had claims of about $15.5 million. We paid out $9.1 million. So we're in arrears of about $6.4 million. This year alone, we're going to have claims in the neighborhood of $13 million, and we're going to only have about $6 million to pay that out. So I think we have to address this issue. This program still it sunsets in 2025, and then the payouts will last 10 years after that, because when a company becomes eligible and signs up to get money back in the claims that they're eligible for, they can do that for 10 years. So it's not like 2025, this program is over and we can just walk away from it. We still have 10 years of payment. So I think it's beneficial for us to have this committee put together and have that report done to find out what some options might be and what we might do in order to make this fund work until we get through the sunset and then the payments after that. So, Mr. Chair, that would be the reason for the amendment, and I would ask this to be a friendly amendment.
Thank you, Senator Ames. Any further discussion? Comments? I do consider this a friendly amendment and do support it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome, Senator Ames. Members, any other discussion or comments on the A22? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The A22 amendment is adopted. Members, further amendments, discussion, comments? Senator Kupek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer the A8 amendment, which should be in your packets here. So this refers to the...
Senator Kupek moves the A8 amendment.
The AA amendment...
Sorry, Senator Kupek, but the amendment is not in our packets yet, so we're going to pause for a second. While it comes out. No, actually, go ahead. To your amendment, if you would, please.
Sure. Sorry, my mistake. So the A8 amendment is in relation to the section of the bill that deals with the grain indemnity fund. It just clarifies the language a little bit, just to make it sure that it's clear that the replenishment does not start until it dips down to that $9 million level. Because originally when we put the bill together, it was at $15 million, and now it's $14 million, and the language didn't quite match up. So we want to make sure it's not getting replenished until $9 million, not starting at $14 million.
Thank you, Senator Kupek, for that very important clarification on this very important bill. Members, discussion, comments, questions of the A8 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The A8 amendment is adopted. Members, further amendments, discussion, comments, questions? Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, I have the A25 amendment.
Senator Anderson moves the A25 amendment. Senator Anderson, I'm going to ask you to pause for a moment while it's distributed, please. To your amendment, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair. The A25 amendment basically seeks to have the dean of the College of Food, Agriculture, and Natural Resource Sciences make a report to the chairs of and ranking minority members of the legislative committees with jurisdiction over agriculture, finance, and policy, and a higher education, detailing uses of the funds in this paragraph, and using administrative, including administrative costs, and likely the same language goes on page 5, line 6. And Mr. Chair, I'd open for discussion.
Members, discussion and comments on the A25 amendment. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The A25 amendment is adopted.
Thank you.
Members, further amendments, questions, comments? Senator Westrom?
Mr. Chair, I do believe members, Republican member amendments are done. Sounds like maybe we're all done. And so do you know of any others, Mr. Chair?
I think we're good, Senator Westrom. Just wanted to check in with you to be sure. Members, I think we have concluded our amendment portion of the bill. If there are other issues that you'd like to bring up or discuss, or we have some moments for some comments on the bill if you'd like to make them. Senator Dames?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to visit for a minute, and I know that your bill is, you know, you used your target, and so there's a problem there. But there is an organization, and I want to get the information here so I get it correct. It's the Center for the that works out of St. Peter.
Oh, sure.
And in the past, we've given them $139 million per year. And they do a lot of research and a lot of work in rural Minnesota. And I notice that they're not in this bill. And so that is of certainly is of concern. It's the rural policy funding for the Center for Rural Policy Funding in St. Peter. And so I am concerned about that organization has done great work over the years. And a lot of the work that they do is used in a lot of legislative decisions that have been made. And so I am concerned that we're doing nothing on that. And so I don't know just how we could handle that to make something happen there. But if there's some way that we could get those folks some funding, it certainly would be appreciated. It's an organization that I don't know that they can survive without our funding. And I would certainly like to see some help there. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Dames. And thank you for raising that issue. I, too, agree that the Center for Rural Policy and Development is excellent. Quick point of clarification, though, and correction. We don't give them $139 million. We typically, I think, gave them $135,000 per year.
$139,000.
Right.
If I said million, I
No, it's all good. I wish I had it to give it to them. I would. But, Senator Dames, if I may still, I had a conversation with... Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. I did have a conversation with the executive director of this group after she presented in the Jobs Committee. And one thing that is, I think, important to realize is that they do get $350,000 a year in the base from the Department of Employment and Economic Development. And this year, they're getting a $200,000 bonus to their budget this year. I would love to give them more money and will if we've got more to give. But they are not in immediate danger of no longer being able to do the great work that they do. And I checked with the executive director before I made that decision. But I take your point, Senator Dames. They are great folks doing great work.
Thank you.
Members, I don't see any other discussion or comments. And so, Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, just one thing I want to highlight, a couple things, I guess, but the rural broadband funding that continues to be a big help to rural Minnesota, but even a lot of newly urbanized areas in our state that used to be townships and the last 10, 15 years have found themselves to be more of a ex-urban type of setting that I continue to hear from people that have challenges with high-speed internet. But that is really the modern-day electricity, and there's just so many positive reasons that we can look to high-speed internet being accessible in rural areas as an economic development opportunity for people to work from home, students to go to school and college from home online, or at least have that part of their curriculum options, and just the option of working home some days and working in the office 2-3 days a week instead of 5 days a week. There's a lot of flexibility that's being offered, and I still just want everybody, and we need to be the leaders on this, how this really is a part of a rural renaissance and the opportunity for people to live in a smaller rural setting, to raise their families, maybe return to where they grew up, and they can still experience and have those job opportunities in the metro area or even out of state by the high-speed internet. And so that's just very important, and I'm glad we were able to keep $100 million in the bill or in funding this year. And just wanted to highlight that as part of this committee. We've taken it on as, I think, a real rural pride and a real piece of rural ownership that we've tried to promote. And I'm glad others have tuned into that and responded. But we're also getting closer and closer, and we can see the day where we probably have the entire state built out and really not a need for the Office of Rural Broadband to stay in existence. And I know for years we've talked about the sign of success is when the office is doesn't need to be there because we've accomplished the purpose of building out broadband. And so I just want to highlight that part of the bill. I do have some concerns with the indemnity fund and the voluntary opt-out, but things will continue to work on, Mr. Chair, and appreciate your willingness to hear from the minority members, take amendments that seem reasonable and try to work together. And so we'll continue to work on this bill, but I think we're coming to an end, and I think there's some good priorities that we're going to be able to do good for rural Minnesota and agriculture.
Thank you, Senator Westrom. I very much appreciate your comments and your the spirit with which we've worked together over the past couple months. And I do believe that today has gone pretty well, and we made the bill better. And so I want to appreciate all of our labor today toward a project, toward a bill that hears the voice of the farmer, that speaks to the needs of struggling Minnesotans around our state. I'm proud of what we've done this session, and I think that it's reflected in this bill. In that spirit, I move that Senate File 1955, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. I ask for a roll call, and pursuant to Senate Rule 12.10, upon request of 3 members of the committee, I ask that the roll call be recorded in the Senate Journal. I need to see 3 hands to approve that. If we take the roll, please.
Chair Putnam?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kupick?
Aye.
Lead Westrom?
Yes.
Senator Anderson?
Pass.
Senator Dames?
Aye.
Senator Dornick?
Yes.
Senator Gustafson?
Yes.
Senator Kunish?
Yes.
Senator Seeberger?
Yes.
Seeing 8 yeses and 1 abstention, Senate File 1955 is moved as amended, has passed, and has been referred to the Committee on Finance. Members, great work today. Let's take Monday off. Thanks very much, everybody. There being no further business before the committee. Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, I'm just going to add to my comments before, and I didn't want to go too long, but, you know, in addition, in the spirit of this bill, I do want to just thank you and other members of the committee. There's some real controversial things coming that are being pushed through the House and have been for several years. And so I just appreciate the thoughtful nature of our committee, and we're able to what's not in this bill is also remark because there's some real concerns for those farmers with technologies and innovative new types of agriculture with time-release fertilizers and other things that really have innovated agriculture and how farmers can operate. And I just appreciate that we haven't gone down some of those roads, and so that is of note as well. But thank you for your work on the bill, and look forward to continuing to work with you.
Thank you for that, Senator Westrom. And just so that everybody knows, when anyone brings me a bill, the first thing I ask them is, tell me how many farmers you've talked to. And you'll be surprised how often that's not answered the way you want it to be answered. That's our job here. I think sometimes in St. Paul, we forget the decisions we make impact people. And that's for the forefront of my mind every single day that we're here. So I very much appreciate that, Senator Westrom. There being no more further business before the committee, we are adjourned.